As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Monday, Moonday, June the 20th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you are most certainly not alone. But you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular of all things and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark BecomeVocalLocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014. To join me live on air from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. However, right now I'm having a little trouble logging into that telephone bank, so you might want to hold your calls for a while. I'll let you know when I've got a clear line and signal there. You may also send your ideas for guest show topics and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening to any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96. Exeter Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647, that postal zip zone. Big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16. TalkStream Live, all carrying broadcast this broadcast this morning, and thank you very much for doing so. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals. Crude oil weakened as the dollar nudges a little bit higher. We'll talk about that in the market segment. Nebraska nuclear, yeah, we'll go there. Fukushima too, solar cell gluts, Greece, ethanol, you name it. It's in the news this morning. Business, profit, Keynes, Comte, distributivism, we'll cover all that as well in the second hour. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to our market report for this morning. Again, Monday, June the 20th, 2011, active trading out of New York City. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, pound gold trading off $3.70 an ounce at $1,536.30 an ounce. Silver this morning off 24 cents at $35.66 a troy ounce. Platinum off 26 bucks at $1,725. Palladium off 10 bucks at 735, so we're down in all the metals this morning. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, relatively narrow band, tight spread there, 8 bucks out there. $1,532.10 for a low, $1,540.20 for a high, but at $1,536.30, take heart, little flock, your gold is still up, $306.20 year to year for a 24.88%. return on your investment. The boys in London this morning ran up their flags, dinged the bell, and set the price at $1,537. Find out more by visiting the London Bullion Market Association, the LBMA. Yeah, that's right. SPDR gold shares overnight and over the weekend, they claim to have added about 9.09 metric tons to their electronic treasure chest, whether that's all just gold-plated tungsten or not. They say this morning they hold 1,209.14 metric tons, and I believe them. Anyways, valued at $59.8 billion, the Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday closed up 43, the only indicator in the green this morning. The Dow Jones closed up 43 at 12,004. We'll be right back. Much more to come.
Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to OracleBroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, June the 20th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, OracleBroadcasting.com. Of course, yes, my name is still William Roberts. Back into our market report again for this morning, recapping. For those that may have been away at the top of the hour news and weather break, our active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time found gold off $3.70 a troy ounce at $1,536.30. Silver off 24 cents at $35.66. Platinum down $26 at $17.25. And palladium off 10 bucks at $734. Again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 43 on Friday, closing out at 12,004. The NASDAQ off 7 at 26.16. The S&P 500 off 4, closing out at 1272. Where it'll go today? Anybody's guess. Crude oil this morning off 98 cents, trading at $92.03 a barrel. For those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude delivered as they are in the Cushing Hub of Oklahoma, $92.03 a barrel. Price keeps going down. The U.S. dollar index this morning, one of the few indicators that are actually up another 22 basis points at 75.20, up and up and up. The U.S. dollar is going down and down and down. Everything else is going. Well, how that figures out impacts the foreign exchange rates. Where this morning we find the Canadian loonie off 21 basis points, exchanging against the U.S. dollar in foreign exchange at $1.01. The Mexican peso off 22 basis points, now still firmly set at 8 cents, retracing that penny gain that it had for months and months. 8 cents pop this morning. Fill up your pockets. Your multiplier is 11.9250 pesos per dollar, 8 cents a pop. Euros this morning off 44 basis points at $1.43. British pound down 8 basis points at $1.62. and the Swiss franc. Strong, moving up, 0.39%, 39 basis points at $1.18, yet still $2 off its recent high of $1.20. The bond market this morning, the yield on the two-year bonds, that would be the U.S. Treasury's bonded indebtedness, the yield is at 0.37%. The benchmark 10-year yield is at 2.93%. And your 30-year bond's running at 4.18% yield. The mortgage market this morning continuing down, down and down and down they go. They're going to be giving houses away pretty soon. Watch out for that blue light special. The 15-year fixed rate mortgage moves down in a national average from 3.78% to 3.65% this morning for 15-year mortgages. The 30-year moves down from 4.55% to 4.49%. Your prime rate is set in iron at 3.25%. And your gold to silver ratio, well, it's going to take you 43.09 ounces of silver to bring one home, 1 ounce of gold. In the Econoday calendar this morning, nothing happening really. Tomorrow, the FOMC meeting, that's the Federal Open Market Committee meeting, starts. We'll have that report then. The ICSE Goldman store sales will be out. Red Book will be out. Existing home sales will be out. Watch that 10 o'clock open tomorrow for the existing home sales. If that thing doesn't come in good, the week could be set up for a downward move. The mortgage bankers purchase applications again will follow on Wednesday. So these two tag team together. The FHFA house price index will be out at 10 as well, so that'll be interesting. Of course, the Federal Open Market Committee having a meeting announcement tomorrow, and then the chairman press conference will come at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so we won't see that Thursday. Of course, jobless claims and new home sales will be out. So that's going to set us up for going into a Friday decline, no doubt. And then durable goods orders will be out on Friday morning. So all that in this week's economic calendar. Let's go into the discussion and see what we've got for news. Short sellers hammering solar coaster as a glut of Chinese panels sinks the prices. What's this about? Ben Sills writing this one for Bloomberg. Short sellers are flocking to the solar power, dumping record levels of stock in First Solar Inc. So, hey, I guess the prices are falling on those solar panels. You can maybe we'll be able to afford to put one on our house and attempt to get off the grid. Anyway, First Solar of Tempe, Arizona, the world's largest maker of thin film solar panels, had a record of 23% of outstanding shares sold short this month. According to Data Explorer's information on Bloomberg, a record of 54% of Germany's Qcells SE is as short, meaning the stock was borrowed for sale by speculators who hope to buy it back later, even more cheaply. Wow. Surge in Chinese competition and solar subsidy cuts. Underline that, solar subsidy cuts. In the world's biggest markets of Germany and Italy have attracted short selling that has helped push down the 37-member Bloomberg Global Leaders Solar Index 22% this quarter. Things not looking too good there. The stocks look cheap, but 2012 still has massive and potentially overwhelming challenges, said Sean Kravitz, chief executive officer of Esplanade Capital. The Boston-based hedge fund has bought Chinese manufacturers and shorted their European competitors, he said, without naming the stocks they sold short. Officials for First Solar declined to comment, so keep your eyes peeled on that. If you're invested in solar cells, you might want to check your investments out. The AM Kitco Metals Roundup, COMEX Gold, silver weaker amid lower crude and stronger USDX index, this by Jim Wyckoff, writing for Bloomberg, newsy news. COMEX gold and silver futures prices are trading modestly lower Monday, as lower crude oil and prices and a stronger U.S. dollar index weigh on the precious metals. However, selling interest in the metals is being limited by safe haven investor demand for gold and silver as the Greek debt crisis continues to play out. Stopped in at a local gold broker over the weekend. Asked him how he was doing and all that, looked at the product inventory that he had out there, lots of interesting coins at reasonable prices. But I asked him how many, just to kind of a guess, is how many sellers is he getting for how many buyers? He said, don't have any sellers, but we got lots of buyers. Anyway, so that's where people are going in the metals. After weekend meetings between Greek officials, the European Union, and the International Monetary Fund, there was no agreement reached on a bailout package regarding Greece's debt crisis, and there's more of that in the news as well. Let's just jump right along. Of course, I'm not going to spend much time on this one, but a Barry the Usurper and Johnny Boner, little Johnny Boner, went out and stroked their rods and played, chased their balls playing golf this weekend. Wow. So we talk about our founding fathers, and these guys are out floundering fathers on Father's Day, I guess, anyway. That's the story, and they're welcome to it, but I don't know. They probably wanted to bring their Cadillac and a cavalcade of cars, motorcade, down the fairway, and they no doubt were told they couldn't do that. Anyway, after they got done playing golf, they went and had cold drinks. Did they get anywhere on the budget? Hell no. What do you expect? Anyway, that was just a bunch of nonsense. Let's go into this one. Bernanke may face self-induced paralysis. Yeah, this is the paralysis of monetary policy analysis. This by Rich Miller, June the 20th, New News. Princeton University, Benjamin Shalom, I love Israel. Bernanke castigated the Bank of Japan in 2000 for, quote, a case of self-induced paralysis that led to a decade of stagnation. The article continues, now the Federal Reserve Chairman may be allowing the U.S. Central Bank to fall into the same trap. Not a sand trap, but the same trap, after its second round of quantitative easing ends this month. Well, I can tell you this is a long article. I'm not going to share it all. But down deep into this, they're talking about what? QE3. That's right. Economist Alan Sinai, wouldn't imagine he was Irish Catholic, sees growth strengthening between 2.5 and 3% in the second half. Wow, that's really just kicking them over the top, isn't it? We'll be right back.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the meadows of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
And as stated in the previous segment, you know, they're looking at QE3. It's about a 50-50 mix. You know, some people say it's going to happen. Some people say it's not going to happen. You know, one guy goes this way, one guy goes that way. It's all opinions. We'll have to see what Benjamin Shalom and the boys at the Fed do. But anyway, it's looming in the background. There's no question about it. Let's go to this one. Corn stocks plunging to 1974 low as China adds Brazil-sized crop to the demand. Off Bloomberg, yeah. Whitney McFerrin and Jeff Wilson collaboratively writing this one for Bloomberg New News. Even a fifth consecutive year of record global corn harvests will fail to meet demand for food, fuel, and livestock feed, reducing stockpiles to the lowest in two generations. You thought it was getting bad. Well, it hasn't gotten that bad yet. Consumption will rise 3% in the next marketing year, a 16th consecutive annual gain that saw demand jump 66%. You love it when they use that number. According to U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates, inventory will drop to 47 days of use. That's right. 1, 2, 3, up to 47, and then it's all gone. The fewest since 1974, the data shows, waterlogged fields in the U.S. The largest exporter will curb yields, Goldman Sachs Group said. Corn may jump 36% to a record of $9 a bushel if conditions worsen. Of course, all of the speculators and investors that are out there sharpening their axe for that $9 a bushel number. That's not going to help you, and it won't help me. Corn purchases are accelerating as droughts and floods limit output. Gains in everything from soybeans to wheat driving the Standard & Poor's Agricultural Index of 8 commodities to 60% higher in 12 months. China, the world's second biggest consumer after the U.S., will use 47% more than a decade ago, adding an amount greater than the entire crop of Brazil, the second or the third largest producer. Quote, there is a storm developing in agriculture, said Jean Berlot, a global head of commodities at UBS AG in London. Quote, if we have the slightest disruption in any part of the world, the effect on the price will be considerable, he said. Corn prices rose 4.9% in Chicago this year, even after dropping 7.4% last week to close at $6.60. Long term, I think $6 to $7 is a normal price, Bourleau said. Costs are rising for Tyson Food, Inc., the biggest U.S. meat processor and ethanol maker. Archer Daniels Midland Company. We put that one on your browser and search it out. But again, ethanol keeps creeping into this. Why are the price of gasoline and diesel so high? Ethanol is expensive, and they blend the two together. And the more ethanol they continue to pour into the car, the worse your automobile runs, and the more your gasoline costs at the pump. Archer Daniels Midland Company, taking the money right out of Ma and Pa America's pockets. The S&P GSCI index of 24 commodities advanced 5.9% this year. Global production will rise 5.6% to 866.2 metric tons. You know, the global spring, all those Arubs out there running around complaining about not having any food. Well, it's only going to get worse. Still too little to meet the demand of 871.7 million tons, according to the USDA, which combines viable or variable local marketing years for its estimates. Here's the big news. China's pork consumption. Yeah, lots of that pork fried rice. China's pork consumption doubled in the past two decades. A lot more pigs over there. And demand for chicken. Chicken. You know how they love chicken and Chinese food. The USDA estimates boosting requirements for grain-based animal feed. Grain-based animal feed. All right. Food, feed, and energy. Surging energy prices and subsidies spurred the ethanol production, with the U.S. industry using 7 times more corn than 10 years ago. Stop using the corn for ethanol. I want gasoline in my gas tank, not corn oil. quote, for the livestock industry, the ethanol industry, and the food industry, it's going to be a food fight. Close quote. A food fight, said John Corey, chief executive officer of Rochester, Indiana-based Prairie Mills, which processes cornmeal and corn flour, quote, any kind of weather problems are really going to be a significant problem. That is a problem for all of us, considering that they've been using the weather to commit war on the people for a long, long time. U.S. farmers, corn fell last week as drier weather enabled U.S. farmers to complete about 99% of expected plantings around here. As I mentioned last week, corn is already just about knee-high, and you want to have knee-high by 4th of July to have a good yield. We'll see. If things go well, we'll have corn in Missouri anyway. Above average prices will spur farmers to keep sowing, even if it means lower yields. Of course, they continue to sow and they continue to sow, but it just pushes out the harvest further and further along. And, you know, if you're a dry land farmer, you're not irrigating, you depend upon that moist soil in the spring, and if it's just soggy, wet, and sloppy, you're not going to get your crops into the field before the heat of the summer burns them off. Demand may not expand as fast as anticipated by the USDA as economic growth weakens. Indexes tracking manufacturers in the New York and Philadelphia regions contracted this month and more. Here's some more livestock. This is all about meat prices. Livestock owners may cull their herds. What do you do when you cull a herd? You kill cows, slaughter cows, and others. You kill cows and steers and bulls. Why is that? Well, because increasing the meat supply, it's because of the higher feed costs, all right? You can't afford to keep the cattle standing around when the cost of feed goes through the roof. Wholesale choice beef prices dropped 9.9% since reaching a record high on April the 5th. Pork is down 2.6% from a May the 16th high. USDA data shows bacon retailed at $4.77 a pound in May, 24% more than a year earlier. Data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows farmers also may replace corn with wheat in feed because the grain is cheapest relative to corn in 15 years. Effingham Equity, a feed and farm supply in Effingham, Illinois. I live in Effingham. We all F around here. We're Effingham. That's not a good... Oh, my. That's almost pornographic, Will. We'll add wheat in the hog feed rations for the second time in a quarter century, said Mark Tarter, the grains department manager. So, Mark Tarter got his sauce over there, Effingham. Anyway, Tyson Foods is using some wheat for poultry, said Gary Mickelson, a spokesman for the Springdale, Arkansas-based company just south of here. Higher feed costs? Higher feed prices will add $500 million to Tyson's costs in its fiscal year. You know where they're going to pass that to, right? To you. They always pass on their, well, what do they say? They privatize the profits and they socialize the losses. Corn and soybean meal account for about 42% of spending to raise chickens, which generated more than 34% of sales in fiscal 2010. Well, you know, they're always talking about, well, let's just do it the way they said it here. Quote, people just don't want to give up a better diet once they shift to eating more meat. What did they say? A better diet. Yeah, you want to be a vegetarian? Wait until you have access to quality beef. You'll give up that vegetable diet in a hurry. Said Steve Nicholson, a commodity procurement specialist at International Food Products Corporation, a distributor and advisor on food agreements in Fenton, Missouri. He predicts prices above $8 before the end of the year, and of course that's going to hurt the poor nations. It will. The usurper's administration says growing foreign investment in the U.S. Anyway, here's the article, Kate Anderson Brower. Of course, you can go up on Vicki Davis's website, www.channelingreality.com, channelingreality.com. Find out about all these foreign trade zones. Well, this article speaks to that. Foreign direct investment in the U.S. increased by 49% in 2010. Foreign direct investment, of course, it really ought to be alien direct investment if we were to say it properly. But we'll pick that up right after this.
Looking for news and real information?
You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com. You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, I think we got the telephone difficulties ironed out. You're certainly welcome to call in if you'd like at 866-841-1065. Let's go down and say good morning to Mark in Texas. Good morning, Mark.
Good Monday to you, William.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing swell. I was thinking about hospitals and earning a living. Most of those folks that work at a hospital, especially in the nurses category where they're multitasking to the max,
yes,
they're there for one reason only, to earn a living.
Well, typically.
Now, it's your job as a patient to get out of there still a living. Okay, that's the difference. You have responsibilities as a patient, and the major one is to pay attention. These folks are run ragged. Okay, like I said, let's say you have an appendix blow up or something like that. You know, you're not going to be able to take any of these natural cures. It's going to do you any good at that point.
No, you won't.
You know, so folks, just keep that in mind. And they're going through a lot of changes right now, so I'm sure they're preoccupied with other things also. So if you end up in that position, remember, walk out of there.
Well, I don't know about where you are at in Texas, Mark, but I know around here, especially in the local newspapers, about the only kind of employment that is offered is by our county and federally subsidized St. John's Medical Centers here. If you want to get a job around here, you're going to have to be ready to wear those scrubs and do bedpans, I guess. But they always seem to be hiring. Nobody else is hiring. So apparently there's a lot of money in death, you know, and in sickness and wealth care, but there doesn't seem to be really a very healthy population out here. They just got done putting on a whole new expansion, you know, wing onto the hospital. This is all tax underwritten, you know. But, it's quite a racket. It certainly is. I haven't had a doctor's appointment in my own life in over 20 years. I would hope to be able to go to the end of my life without ever having to visit with another doctor, because none of the visits I've ever had were pleasant.
And it's really is difficult to find a decent doctor nowadays. You're exactly right. But as long as we're on the topic of earning a living, well, you ever had anybody tell you, let's say, let me set this up. Let's say you had old Jim that you've known ever since he's in high school. You know, you and Jim, you hunted and you shot dove together and you fished together. Well, old Jim decided he was going to go into, let's say law enforcement.
Okay.
Okay. Now, picture this. He comes up to you and he pulls you over. And he says, "Hey, William, how you been?" And he ends up giving you a ticket, and he tells you, "William, don't take this personal. I'm just following orders." Well, if the truth be told, what he should say is, "William, you know, we're friends and all that. Don't take this personal. It's just business."
Just business. It's just commerce, buddy. Just commerce.
Exactly.
It's commerce commerce on the high seas. Step back to my cruiser, you know.
That's exactly what it is. This just following orders stuff, ever since public-private partnerships, it's almost as if they have the best of both worlds.
Well, you know, you can use that kind of an argument. You know, it's just my job. I'm following orders and so on and so forth. But, you know, they tried that, you know, with the Contra scandals. They tried that with the Nuremberg. You know, they've tried that drill many times. I like to think of it this way, that, you know, Mark, I don't want to ever find myself in a situation where I'm compromising my principles for a relationship. I was looking for a job when I found this one, and if I'm asked to do something that doesn't set right with my own spirit, I'm out of here. You can take your job and shove it. I don't want your money. I'll continue looking. But there are a lot of people out there that are willing to compromise their principles, never perhaps had any principles in their life to live by. And as a result, they are just willing to follow orders, go along, to get along. But, you know, I think that they're going to have a rude awakening. If you were to just take the numbers and run the math on it, the number of people who have sold out, you know, they're working for government, the people that are working in law enforcement, the people working in the CIA, the FBI, they're grossly outnumbered. And so one of these days, they're going to have to deal with the angry mob. And I don't think they'll get very much. I know that, I won't say that I know, but I don't think they're going to get a lot of respect for all of the abuses that they've laid out. My God, you can go up on the YouTube and just type in any kind of a headline you want. Police taser old woman, police batter child, police kill dogs. You put it in there and you'll come up and you'll have more YouTube videos than you can tolerate watching.
Yeah, you ain't just joking there, but, you know, the propaganda for years is they're there for our best interest and they're keeping us safe. And, William, there could be certain instances where that is true, but overall, William, remember, it's nothing personal.
Yes, yeah,
it's just business.
It's the promotion of a culture of safety. It's the safety cult, you know? And so you got everybody's into public safety, you know, but there is no safety when government gets involved in the safety business.
It's the military security complex.
Sure, sure. Why do they have blue lights on a fire truck? Tell me that one.
Yeah, or the infrared technology on a fire truck. I guess it's so they could locate the fire, huh?
That's what they say. They can look into they can look through your walls and find out who's in the house.
Yeah. But going back to the police, once a business, because let's stick with the police department, it is truly a business.
Yes.
You know, they're making a living and they're funding their pension plans. Once a business has cornered the market, which, William, I think that's pretty much safe to say within their jurisdictional area, they have cornered the market.
Yes, they have. They have, and they work in tandem with the courts. They work in tandem with legislation. They work in tandem with all of the various agencies as well. So it's quite the marketplace. We heard about it 10 years ago that there was just an absolute glut of young people coming out of colleges with degrees in law. I mean, that is enough to get your hair to stand straight up. You know, the last thing we need is another 100,000 lawyers every year coming out of these law schools.
And once a business has cornered the market, it's their job to expand their dominance.
Hey, it's just good business.
Exactly. But that's what I'm trying to get myself to look at things in a different way.
Well, in a different way, you know, old Georgie Gordon, you know, he's got a broadcast on another network. I listen to him from time to time. He's got a good take on life. But he made a comment one time on one of his broadcasts that if you wanted to reduce crime in your town, what you wanted to do was fire your police. If you come into a town and you don't have any cops and you hire a cop, you're going to find you're going to have a 100% increase in crime in the first year. Now, if you hire a second cop because of all of this crime wave that just came on, you'll have a 200% increase in crime because both cops are going to be out there looking for criminals. Now, if you hire three cops, you're going to have 300% increase in your crime because all three of them are going to be out there trying to justify their existence. So you'll have a tripling of your criminals coming into the system. And the same goes. You just keep running it on up. The next thing you know, you're going to need to have a judge, and you're going to need to have a courthouse, then you're going to need to have a jail. You know, and it's just going to be a crime wave in your town. Now, you fire them all, and you go right back to reset at zero, no crime in your town. Which would you rather have, no crime or a crime wave?
And then right in tandem with them is, you know, our legislator. It was just a few years ago our legislation, our state government got together. And, William, they passed like 5,000, I think it was close to 2,000-something, new felonies.
Well, every single year out of the state legislatures here in Missouri, they'll come up with another 2,000 to 3,000 laws. You know, when I went to sleep on December the 31st, woke up on January the 1st, I wasn't thinking about for a New Year's resolution that we needed 3,000 more laws in Missouri. But that seems to be what we do. Well, why shouldn't they? That's because the lawmakers have cornered the market on writing law. And that's what they do. They're good at it. So they just keep bringing us more laws and more laws and more laws and then more police. And then more judges, then more jails. What a racket.
And they've got to the point now that they use, you know, like with the Supreme Court, they'll use past judgments, you know, to for the most part, justify, you know, recent rulings.
Yeah, they call that common law or stare decisis. It's judgment based upon precedent, but under the legal positivist school of thinking, who is to say and who is to know what a prior judge or what a legislator was thinking. So they no longer try and find intent. They just find a rule du jour, a rule of the day, if you will, or a rule de facto. And so, you know, that's just another strike against them.
Yeah, but the laziest way for our legislatures to increase the severity of laws is by using that judicial crutch. They don't create new laws as much as they turn misdemeanors into felonies. So what they've done is they've actually created, for all intents and purposes, a new law, not necessarily a new law, but what they've done is they've increased the severity of the existing law, which is the lazy man's way to increase revenue.
Well, look at the difference between, you know, a misdemeanor and a felon, for instance. Time was that a felony, when in the first place, a felon was rare, but most felonies, you know, were a death sentence. If you stole a man's horse, you could expect a necktie party in a few hours, you know, as soon as they found you. So that's a felony. So stealing a car, grand theft, larceny, that's a felony. Well, we don't hang car thieves in this country. Why not? Maybe if we just started practicing the old school, we'd have fewer felons and fewer felonies. But good points, Mark, good points. And I thank you for the call.
Thank you, William.
Bye-bye.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream,
Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So I'd have to say in regards or response to Mark's call, you know, from Texas, he's pretty right on the money there. But if you look at it from the standpoint, you know, if you're looking for justice inside of this justice system, I think you're looking for love in all the wrong places. I'm not going to say that all cops are pigs, but one of these days we will come across, you know, an honest cop. And when we do, I think we ought to put up a monument, the last honest cop in America. And the rest of them, I think, largely pigs. Never was able to figure out the babysitter mentality that drove somebody to that line of work. But as we found out in Katrina, down in the Ninth Ward and other places, you know, who were the looters? Well, mostly the pigs, you know, pushing shopping baskets around, getting the computers out of the Walmart stores and things like that. Why do you think they cordon off these various FEMA campgrounds that they put up when you have a natural or a man-made disaster like we had up in Joplin? Well, here's the local news. Joplin Globe, Baxter Springs, this is June 16th, Baxter Springs Mayor, Three firefighters fired in a looting probe. That's right. Joplin, Missouri. That's where they had the big tornado go through there. 1,500 people, I think. No, 150, excuse me, dead. Three firefighters in Baxter Springs, Kansas. These guys came in. You know, they were the relief team, the pitch hitters. This is your multi-jurisdictional FEMA's all-hazard mitigation program. At work, a multi-jurisdictional task force. Three firefighters in the Baxter Springs, Kansas area have been fired and their chief placed on administrative leave in light of a probe into looting of businesses in Joplin the night of the May 22nd tornado. Baxter Springs Mayor Jennifer J. Bingham released a prepared statement Thursday acknowledging the firing of three unidentified firefighters. Why do they have blue lights on fire trucks? On June the 9th, the release states the dismissals concerned conduct displayed during relief efforts in the aftermath of the tornadoes. that devastated Joplin and elsewhere. All information relating to the individuals and their conduct was forwarded immediately to the Joplin Police Department for further review and investigation. So one of the reasons why they want to keep the citizens out of these disaster-prone areas is so they get in there and do the looting first. They want all the gold and silver coin, the good rifles. You know, there was a big sports store there. Probably had 500 handguns and rifles and ammunition aplenty. I would imagine they were filling up their fire boots with that stuff. Anyway, there is that story. Let's go into this one, too, as long as we're in the local news area. Nebraska nuclear reactor dry, though surrounded by flood. A lot of people are concerned about this reactor up in Nebraska. This out of Reuters, Omaha, Nebraska. The Fort Calhoun nuclear power station in Nebraska remains shut down due to the Missouri River flooding, but the plant itself has not flooded and is expected to remain safe, the federal government said Friday as their nose grew longer. Well, I added that. Anyway, the rising river, quote, has certainly affected the site, but the plant itself, the actual reactor, is still dry, close quote, said Scott Burnell, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission spokesman. The 478-megawatt plant north of Omaha shut on April the 9th to refuel and has remained shut because of the flooding, said Obama Public Power District spokesman Jeff Hansen. When the river reaches 1,004 feet above mean sea level, we shut down, said Hansen. We don't have any idea when we'll be able to start again. The Missouri River, swollen by heavy rains and melting snow, what happened to that global warming, Al? Anyway, has been flooding areas from Montana through Missouri. Residents have been shoring up levees around towns as federal officials widen the floodgates to allow record or near record water releases to ease pressure on the reservoirs. The Fort Calhoun station is owned and operated by the Omaha Public Power District and supplies power to Nebraska's largest city. So anyway, they had plenty of warning, they said. Not a problem. The areas around the plant is flooded, which means employees can come in, go through one entrance. It's a longer drive in the morning for them, he said. Becker said the preparation for the flood has included sandbagging around the plant. I'm sure they've been sandbagging around that plant for years. The plant is also barricading off some switch yards that bring power into the plant. The plant also has three backup diesel generators, he said. The reactor for the 800-megawatt plants had to be shut down in 1993 when flooding washed out roads, which would have inhibited implementation of an emergency evacuation plan. Well, here's a little bit more along that line. Second Nebraska nuclear plant threatened by flooding. Ricky Kreitner writing this one. A second nuclear power plant in Nebraska is being threatened by rising floodwaters. But the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, a federal watchdog agency, says the plant's owners are taking the appropriate steps to ward off danger. According to a report in the Omaha World Herald, the Cooper Power Station would have to go into cold shutdown should floodwaters arise an additional 6 feet, a prospect local officials say is highly unlikely. So there's a lot of people out there that are wringing their handkerchiefs thinking that this is going Fukushima. It ain't. Anyway, officials say a key difference between the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan and the two plants in Nebraska is that the Japanese plant had only an hour after the devastating March questionable earthquake to prepare for floods. The Nebraska plants have had weeks to prepare flood defenses. That's not enough time to relocate a nuclear plant to higher ground or jack it up on stilts, a nuclear scientist told the Omaha Wood World Herald. Quote, but it is plenty of time to check to ensure that watertight doors are intact, backup power supplies are available, and functional fuel oil tanks are topped off, etc. So they're not looking for anything to be alarmed about there. Nothing happening here, folks. Just move along. Well, let's go over to Fukushima while we're talking about it. Fukushima disaster failures kept behind closed doors at a UN atomic meeting. This by Jonathan Tryrone, writing for Bloomberg. The United Nations Nuclear Agency decision to hold talks about the Fukushima disaster behind closed doors. It really ought to be Daiichi. Fukushima is the prefecture. The town is Daiichi. Anyway, Fukushima disaster behind closed doors this week ignores the quote-unquote blindingly obvious need for greater transparency. You know, you go back and track that word back and you find it's perestroika, glasnost, you know. The perestroika deception, blindingly obvious, greater transparency. usurper's administration is so transparent, we were able to see through that before it ever was sworn into office, if it was. Quote, people deserve openness from the industry and its regulators, close quote, said Malcolm Grissom, a former information officer at the UK's Atomic Energy Authority, who is a London-based policy advisor at the Chatham House. Chatham House. Click on that hot link. Yeah, find out all about it. In a June 17th interview, quote, it's blindingly obvious that greater transparency is needed. How about a little bit less of this obfuscatory logical positivist syntactician talk? Maybe that would be helpful. Let's go to another one. TEPCO says failure at the water decontamination won't delay nuclear solutions. So they brought Band-Aids to a gunfight, and they're not doing too well. Anyway, this one by Monami Yui and Suyo Yoshi in Ajima, writing for Bloomberg, June the 20th, New News. Tokyo Electric Power Company, that's TEPCO, played down concern that a solution to the crisis at the Fukushima nuclear plant may be delayed, saying it's planned to resume clearing or cleaning radioactive water that's hindering recovery work. They're trying to clean up this water. Wow. Decontamination of the water was halted on June the 18th after radiation levels in a treatment unit exceeded the limit set by the utility in 5 hours instead of 1 month, as expected. Yes, they weren't planning on that one very well. That's the wrong unit. That's what they did. They got the wrong unit. Anyway, quote, decontamination is the key to solving the problems at the plant. Unfortunately, no one knows how to decontaminate this site. And that's really the problem. Anyway, they put together equipment from different manufacturers. That's called, in Missouri, botching it together. This is baling wire and high-speed duct tape at its finest, which may have made the system as a whole vulnerable. Filtering above about 105 million liters or 28 million gallons of water. You think about the Berkey filter in your kitchen, folks. It would take a long time to get 28 million gallons filtered. Anyway, water in basements and trenches at the Fukushima Daiichi plant was halted after the level of cesium in a unit reached 4.7 millisieverts of radiation. Filters generally need replacement at levels of about 4 millisieverts. So they got to the maximum in hours instead of months. Well, it's a simple system, but they haven't got it figured out yet. Here's one more on Fukushima. Let's see, we'll drop that one. We've been there, done it. Greek default would spell havoc for European banks a year after the bailout. Because everybody's watching Greece. People out there are still going crazy in the streets. Hundreds of thousands turning out. They want to turn this whole island upside down, inside out, whole country. Anyway, I'll have to pick up Erin Kirchfield and Elena Logatovenkova, their article, after this. Stay tuned.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago,
From the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond. TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert, Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, and welcome back to our Monday, Moon Day, June the 20th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live as we do Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, we have a chat room up for you. You can find it at becomevocallocal.com and all of our archives carefully stashed away for you, indexed as we do every day at oraclebroadcasting.com. Just click on the show archives link, and you can go into a couple of years of or Become Vocal Local archives. Anyway, let's go into this discussion a little bit deeper here. We've got a little bit more news to go through, and then we'll go into other things. I've got a lot of material. One of the greatest things about spending the weekends, as I do quietly at home, gives me an opportunity to do a lot of reading, which I did over the weekend. A wonderful weekend. It was a little cooler, a little more comfortable, nice and sunny outside, and I just read and read and read and had a great time. Anyway, I'm going to share some of that with you in a moment. But back to this Greek default spelling havoc for European banks a year after the bailout. Folks, if Greece goes upside down, we're going to see a lot more turmoil than you might think. Anyway, they're already upside down. They just don't realize it yet. Well, they know it, too. I guess they just haven't admitted it yet. Let's find out what they have to say here. A year after European officials bailed out Greece, investors say the region's banks haven't raised sufficient capital or cut loans enough to withstand the contagion that may follow a default. The Greek debt situation certainly has the potential to create havoc with the European banking system, said Neil Phillips, a fund manager at Blue Bay Asset Management PLC in London, which oversees about $45 billion, quote, a Greek default and the ramifications of that would be too ghastly for Europe and the European banking system to contemplate right now. In other words, not good. German Chancellor Angela Merkel retreated last week from a confrontation with the European Central Bank that threatened to shove Greece into the Eurozone's first sovereign default, softening demands that bondholders be forced to shoulder a big part of a rescue. Bondholders be forced to shoulder a big part of the rescue. Right? Banks. Questions remain about how such any burden-sharing agreement would work without promptly ratings companies to declare a default and whether Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou can persuade legislators to pass the austerity measures needed for a bailout. Forceful reminder, we forcefully remind the Greek government that by the end of this month, they have to see to it that we are all convinced that all the commitments they have made are fulfilled, close quote, said Luxembourg Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker. Look that guy up, the Junkers. Want to talk about the black nobility of Europe, Jean-Claude Juncker. He told reporters early after chairing a Euro crisis meeting in Luxembourg. Well, there's a lot more to that story as well. I want to go back to this one, however, and close out the news section all with it. The usurper's administration, again, is saying that foreign investment in the United States is growing. Again, back to Vicki Davis's website, channelingreality.com. Get on her email list. Find out all about these foreign trade zones. What old Butch Otter is doing to the people in Idaho is happening in your town. They're bringing in foreigners, aliens, really, would be the correct way of saying it, alien direct investment. Foreign direct investment just might be an investment made in Idaho by someone in Nebraska or Kansas. That would be foreign as far as the interstate commerce system is set up. It's foreign when you go from state to state, interstate. It's alien when you do something from outside of the continental USA and the Alaskan Y. It's alien and has been for a long time. They don't like to mention that word alien. They wouldn't say alien direct investment. Everybody would be thinking about the little grays or the brown dwarfs or something like that. Anyway, at a time when we need to use every tool in our toolbox to continue to put Americans back to work and grow the economy here at home, promoting foreign direct investment is an important opportunity to accelerate our economic recovery. And I tell you, this man is insane. We'll be right back.
The Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to OracleBroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Of course, back into the news basket right here on our Monday, June the 20th, 2011, two-hour broadcast. Now starting our second hour of today's broadcast, the Oracle Broadcasting Network chat room available for you at BecomeVocalLocal.com. Back into this article, closing out the news. Again, this is about foreign direct investment in the U.S. and the usurpers out there, stumping for it. Consumer purchases in the U.S. rose less than forecast in April as food and fuel prices climb. Pending sales of existing houses plunge, showing the economy was struggling to strengthen at the start of the second quarter. So what does the usurper do? He doesn't put on tariffs. No, not at all. He doesn't close our southern border to the illegal alien invasion. No. Not at all. What does he do? He's continuing to encourage, with other governors and mayors, continuation of this foreign direct investment. The U.S., which has the most foreign direct investment, should call it properly alien direct investment, aliens direct investment of any nation in the world, has been the beneficiary of a growing number of foreign headquartered companies doing business in the U.S. Now, of course, we have to say, the sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. We've only been doing this to other countries for the last 50 years, 60 years. It's no surprise that when things go bad, go sour, go south, after they've underwritten so much of our debt that they wouldn't want to come and capitalize or collateralize their debt notes by bringing their companies here. But we do have a bunch of them. Again, the U.S., which has the most foreign direct investment of any nation in the world, has been the beneficiary of a growing number of foreign headquartered companies doing business in the U.S. Of course, they're not in the U.S. Technically, they're in the States, including building new warehouses, service centers, and research and development facilities, according to the report. The big question is, are they hiring American workers, or are they just simply creating these enclaves like they plan to do in Idaho? Little Butch Otter. Somebody ought to butch that otter. Anyway, the analysis concludes that the nation's open economy and low barriers to foreign investment have helped make the U.S. an attractive investment. Baby, put the for sale signs out. This one's for sale. Republicans, including former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, who is the front runner for the nomination in several polls, are using recent economic data to make the case that the president's economic policies are failing, and I'd have to second it, even though I'm not a Romney supporter. Well, lots more could be discussed in the news basket. I want to go back into some of the things I covered over the weekend. Let's start with this one. Again, I introduced this book last week, read from it about a year ago, just briefly, but we're going to go into it a little bit more this morning. Introduction to Business, all right? The sixth edition by Gloss Baker. This is a college textbook, all right? A textbook for the first course in business on the collegiate level. You think, oh my goodness, we're going to a textbook. Yeah, absolutely. Found it rather refreshing to find references to DeLavoy and Howard's Principles of Business Law in this textbook as well. It starts out very basic, and then it gets increasingly involved as the textbook goes along, as I've shared with you in the past. And this textbook originally cost $6.20, by the way. Looks like it was used by one, two, three people. January the 1969 was the last time it was checked out. It's got somebody's social security number written in the front of the book. I wasn't exactly bright. Anyway, Raymond Gloss, Ph.D., CPA, Harold Baker, Ph.D., School of Business, John Carroll University in Cleveland, School of Business Administration, Miami University, Oxford, Ohio. Introduction to Business. But in here on page 18, they have a side page. It says, is profit a dirty word? Is profit a dirty word? You know, we're worried about the corporations all the time. But is profit a dirty word? Here's the statement. It's not a dirty word to the little boy or girl who puts a dollar in the bank and expects to get more than that out. It all depends on where we look at things. Perspective has so much to do with this. It's not a dirty word to a newsboy who charges more for his papers than they cost him. It's not a dirty word to a widow who puts her and her husband's life savings in blue chip stocks. It's not a dirty word to people who compile dictionaries who define profit with words like good or beneficial or reward. Profit is what makes our society go around. By making research and development possible, it makes new products possible and improved products and lower cost products. It secures jobs and creates new ones. It's essential. It's good. Then why do so many businessmen seem ashamed of the word? Why, in annual reports and financial statements and publicity releases, do they hide the word in the idea of profit? Why do they call profit earnings or net? Why don't they just call it profit? A banker doesn't apologize for paying 4% interest. Why does a businessman feel the need to apologize when he pays a 4% dividend? We're proud of profit. It's what we're paid to create. It's a good thing to create. It's good. If new products are good, if improved products are good, if jobs are good, if our society is good, well, let's tell people about profit. They'll understand. It helps them, too. Again, right out of a 1969 edition here of this Introduction to Business. Is profit a good? It's a 1967, excuse me. Is profit good? Is it profit good? Loss bad? Is this the new paradigm? Well, when you think about growing vegetables, maybe you're going to do one of these little garden truck things, truck gardens. You'd want to make a profit on your vegetables, wouldn't you? What are you going to do? Go into it as a personal sacrifice, charity work? Or do you intend to make a profit? If you're going to go out and rip 40 acres into watermelons and exchange them on a local level to farmers markets and other places, Are you going to make a profit on your watermelons, or are you going to do it at a loss? How long will you be able to continue to operate if you work at a loss? So maybe we need to do a checkup from the neck up when it comes to angst with corporations and realize that there's a lot more problems out there than meets the eye. But is profit a bad thing or not? Or is it a good thing? Continuing, it says here, the more recent theory called the income expenditure analysis differs from the classical theory in several respects, and I may have shared this with you earlier. It's not very long. It's going to introduce John Maynard Keynes, and we'll talk about him a little bit. The more recent theory, again, called the income expenditure analysis. Have you ever looked into that? Income expenditure analysis differs from the classical theory in several respects. It holds that the economy can be in equilibrium without full employment. This is Benjamin Shlomo Bernanke. You know, he thinks about they've given him this new mandate that somehow or another the Federal Reserve banking system should have to be concerned about whether or not people in this country are employed or unemployed. Is that their mandate? Why would it be the Federal Reserve Bank's mandate that people be employed? Question to you. It holds that the economy can be in equilibrium without full employment. You know, it's up to the Congress, up to legislature, to have the fiscal policy. It's up to the Federal Reserve Bank, Benjamin Shlomo Bernanke, it's up to him to come up with monetary policy. And monetary policy is pretty well a tough deal. He's got two primary tools. He can either increase or decrease the amount of money in circulation, or he can increase or decrease the interest rates. Other than that, he ain't out there creating jobs. They never get dirty down at the Fed. Anyway, it says here it holds the economy can be in equilibrium without full employment. There's a big difference between the classical economists and this new income expenditure analysis. This theory states that the level of business activity and also of employment at any one point in time is based on the volume of demand for goods and services by both consumers and businessmen, and the volume of investment by businessmen in economic goods of all kinds. We'll carry that on right after this.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our Microplant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food
in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So we've got a definition posted in the chat room here from 10K Puddles. Always appreciate that, 10K. Income expenditure analysis, the definition, this is off the in the chat room, the simplest Keynesian model for determining national income in which desired expenditure, which is consumption plus investment plus government purchases, depends on income, which is in turn determined so that desired expenditures equal the income. It gives rise to the income expenditure multiplier, income expenditure analysis, all right? So back to our 1967 textbook. Why do we even bother to go here? You know, John Maynard Keynes, what's he all about? We'll find out a little bit more about him in a moment. But if you might recall the recent meeting that they had in, New Hampshire, where all the Bretton Woods guys got together, you know, and had their confab. Well, you'd think if this guy's so old, I mean, this is such old news, they still wouldn't be trying to discuss between the principal economists of the world whether they should continue along the Keynesian models or whether they need to come up with new economic thinking. Of course, so many believe that they must do so, including George Soros, who spent a considerable amount of his own money to put on that conference and have the new Bretton Woods conference, Bretton Woods 2 in New Hampshire, weeks back. Those DVDs, those videos, by the way, are still available up on the web. You can go check them out, listen to them for yourself, watch those conferences. But they were talking about Keynes. Well, let's continue. Talk a little bit more about Keynes. See how this plugs into Agenda 21. It's based on the volume, again, of demand for goods and services by both consumers and businessmen. Of course, if there's unemployment running rampant, people can't buy or sell a home. Everybody's being foreclosed. Everybody's out on the street. Everybody's living in the culverts underneath of Las Vegas or something. Not going to be much demand for goods or services, will there? The volume of investment by businessmen and economic goods of all kind doesn't make any difference, you know. You can invest in something, but it's all based on demand. And if you don't have any buyers, there's always two sides to a transaction. There's a buyer and a seller. You might have all kinds of products stacked up in your warehouse. We talk about it all the time. But if you don't have buyers for all those products, it doesn't matter. It's only going to be a matter of time before all the people working in the factories printing the boxes and putting the Chinese-made products inside the boxes and putting the boxes into rail cars and onto box flat cars and onto the back of 16-wheelers and delivered to your Wally World won't make any difference, will it? Because those people are all going to go out of work. Once Walmarts are all filled up with stuff, and they are, they're piled to the rafters. Once the Home Depots are all filled to the rafters, and they are, they don't need to bring any more inventory in. They got all the inventory they'll ever use. What are they going to do with all the plants in the garden centers? All the plants in the garden centers. I mean, they're just standing empty. And there's no customers. What are you do with all those plants? I would imagine you're going to be able to cut some real good deals about, August the 15th. Anyway, let's continue. It says, consumers, however, may not spend all of their incomes for goods and services, but save some for various reasons. Well, that's a negative, you see, in this model. Don't save. You know, we used to hear, the people in the United States, the consumers, they have the least savings of any place in the world. The Japanese, why they save so much money? Well, we're under the Keynesian model, the Keynesian school of economics here, spending your way to prosperity. People just spend and spend and spend. They don't think even about saving. That's all part of the nanny state. Continuing, this will tend not only to reduce consumption if they save, but unless the savings are invested in economic goods, and who would invest in anything other than gold and silver at a time like this? stocks are in the wane, falling and falling prices everywhere. All right. Who would invest any place other than gold and silver coins? You want to have a health insurance or a wealth insurance program for yourself, get involved with precious metals, physical possession, gold and silver coin in your own hand. Like I said, I stopped at a broker over the weekend, and he's not getting any sellers, but he's got lots of buyers. Anyway, therefore, it is held that if the rate of consumption, and particularly the rate of investment, is not great enough to ensure relatively full employment, government spending must provide the additional expenditures necessary to raise the level of employment. And so, there are these surfers out there trying to drum up and create jobs. All these make-work stuff, all these green jobs, green shoots. You see how well that's working out. The federal government has for many years embraced the concept of the income expenditure theory. For many years. This was in the 1960s. And here we are, 44 years advanced of that, and they're still at it. With respect to its responsibility for achieving and maintaining full employment in the country, can you find any place in the Constitution or in the Declaration of Independence where we assigned or delegated any duty to FedGov to maintain employment? Absolutely not. As a means of attaining this objective, a long series of annual deficits have been incurred, which may or may not have produced the desired result. One of the results of this course of action has been a steady increase in the national debt and interest on that debt. There are sharp differences of opinion among economists and businessmen regarding the desirability of the continuance of this situation. This was in 1967, and George Soros and the financial gurus are over there at Bretton Woods in New Hampshire, and they're still discussing this failed model? Wow. I guess it just doesn't matter how long you go to college, you don't necessarily get smart in the process. Anyway, the continuance of this situation and its eventual effect on the economy of the country, is there any that can doubt the eventual effect? The foregoing brief explanation of the classical and income expenditure theories should help to explain some of the fiscal policies of the federal government. Of course, there's a difference between fiscal policy, that's done by Congress, and monetary policy, which is done by the Fed Reserve. And the recommendations in this area that have been made by economists who embrace the income expenditure analysis. And then here, as a footnote, they say this. The income expenditure analysis. This theory is also known as the national income theory or the neo-Keynesian theory. Neo-Keynesian theory. Now, you'll hear some people stumble all over this word. I guess they didn't learn phonics like I did as a young person. I can understand that. There's been quite a shift in education in the last 50 years. But anyway, let's just resort to the Columbia Viking Desk Encyclopedia here off the library shelf in my library. We'll go into Volume 1. This was published by the Viking Press in New York, and it's a 1953 edition. All right, so it's relatively contemporary with this textbook article. And it says here, Keynes, John Maynard, the first Baron of Tilton. And how do you pronounce the name? K, that's lowercase k. They always give you a pronunciation guide. Lowercase k, long a, n, z. Now, for all of those of you out there that might be dictionary challenged, how do you pronounce the name? Keynes. Now, just like Comtean or Hegelian, all right? If you take a name like Keynes and you add an I-A-N to the end of it, you would pronounce it Keynesian, not Keynesian or some other derivation, some kind of other perversion of our language. No, it's Keynesian. But it's amazing to me how many of these people that are piled high and deep, considered to be astute economists, continue to make that word slip and call it Keynesian. Well, anyway, Dorothy, John Maynard Keynes was the first Baron of Tilton. It's also known as Lord Keynes. He was an English economist. He was born in 1883, lived until 1946. died right after the World Wars. English economist and monetary expert, studied at Cambridge until 1929, a classical economist believing in free economy. Keynes came to support both government large-scale economic planning and spending to promote employment. He profoundly influenced economic policy in democratic nations. And he was also at the first Bretton Woods and was instrumental in the creation of the International Monetary Fund, ISEF. We'll be right back.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And of course, you know, there's just so many different books in my library. There's not enough time in the day, not enough days in the year to be able to bring out all of the best of the stuff that I've got available to discuss on these broadcasts. But, you know, as we look into Agenda 21 and the wider applications and all things that are happening globally, as globalism transitions from global to local and we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda wherever we are in our towns, our cities, and our counties, and our states, you know, if we're going to be that replacement set that is absolutely desperately needed at this time, you know, we're going to have to bring ourselves up to speed on some of this stuff. And this book, written by Morris R. Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, Cohen, I imagine he was an Irish Catholic, but he might have been, copyright 1931. All right, and I've got the third printing hardbound in front of me. He dedicates the book to Mr. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, the courageous thinker and loyal friend. But here, in chapter 3, page 386 of this lengthy tome, It starts this way, communal ghosts and political theory, the reality of groups. And we hear all about groups, 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 groups. All right? And even I talk about that, starting and establishing a local voting precinct group right where you are. Right at the smallest, most fundamental, basic building block of this entire political system, your local voting precinct, where you have the opportunity to run as a county committee man and perhaps with your wife or a girlfriend, county committee woman. You get together and you take that seat on the county committee of your Republican Party or your Democratic Party or both. And then you have the opportunity to start to direct politics. And what is the purpose of politics and political parties in the first place? It is to get proximity to or complete control of our government, our founders. And they weren't the floundering fathers that some paint them out to be. I think they were the founding fathers, our founding fathers. George Washington's farewell address, many people think, was written by Alexander Hamilton. What a guy he was. Swell fellow, Alex. Anyway, took Aaron Burr to put a patched ball in his head. Anyway, it didn't happen quite soon enough, but he did do it. Nevertheless, Hamilton, writing for Washington, perhaps, warned against allowing parties and factions to creep into our midst. Of course, and Harold J. Lasky wrote well and extensively on pluralism. Pluralism as a means of bringing us down. By groups. An endless number of groups. All the bugs and bunny groups. And it's always nice to have more people and more voices out there warning about the ill of Agenda 21, but I would wish they would at least read the book. Anyhow, continuing. Communal ghosts and political theory. This is what Mr. Cohen has to say. A certain awe for the word social is one of the outstanding phenomena of current intellectual life. Again, 1930s, writing just a little bit after Gustavus Myers. The triumphant elation and the solace with which the social nature of man is announced and individualism denounced seems to presuppose the belief that previous generations were not aware of the fact that men live together. I like philosophy. Anyway, but long before the word social received its present vogue, men reflected profoundly on the nature of the family, economic, political, and religious association, Plato's Republic, and Aristotle's Politics, which I've referred to frequently on this broadcast, bear testimony as to the vitality not only of their own, but also of previous Greek thought in this field. But though Plato draws a significant analogy between the individual and the body politic, he does not speak of a communal mind distinct from the minds of individual philosophers, nor is Aristotle responsible for the famous dictum, man is a social animal. He asserted, indeed, that man is a political animal, but he expressly maintained that man's highest achievements are those rare moments of real insight, which are also moments of divine isolation. Nor will anyone acquainted with the long history of the Hebrew and Christian thought as to the nature of church and state and the relation of the individual soul to God be inclined to view the current glib contrast between the social and the individual as the first and final revelation of the truth in the matter. The recent rise of the term social psychology may have lent some color to a general impression that now at last we have discovered a real social mind distinct from the individual minds of men and women. But surely, no scientific psychologist who studies the behavior of men in groups would make any such specious claim. Very interesting man, Mr. Cohen. Wrote well. Back to our book, Introduction to Business, Social This and Social That. And socialism up your hat. With few exceptions, the authors write, this in chapter 2, with few exceptions, the people who migrated to this country in the early days of its history were strong, courageous, adventurous, and listen, and self-reliant. All this nonsense about self-sufficiency. People don't even know their history. And self-reliant. Of course, you got to understand that chain there. The laws of nature, nature's God, all men created equal, you know, endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, or unalienable. But first we look to the laws of nature. First we look to nature, and nature is bountiful. One glance will tell you that we live on a planet of abundance, not scarcity, not austerity. There's these social programmers in there working on your mind, getting you to become austere, right? But once you rely on nature, the next step is to rely on yourself. That's what self-reliance is all about. See, self-sufficiency is just having enough to get by. None of you really want to live like that. I know I don't. That's the idea of bringing the people in the United States of America down to the level of Bolivian peasants, living in austerity, poverty, living like serfs, the FAA road to serfdom, unwinding in front of us. In many instances, they came here to be free from oppression, political, economic, or religious. Deeply ingrained in many of them was an intense suspicion of and dislike for a strong central government, coupled with a belief in the dignity of hard work. What's hard work? Being President George Bush, the shrub, hard work, right? Deeply ingrained in many of them was an intense suspicion of and dislike for a strong central government. They weren't building a strong central government just because of happenstance. They were Republicans, not monarchists. They were Whigs, not Tories. While they naturally brought with them from England and Europe many of the customs and habits of thought of their native lands. We've talked about that before. You know, customs, tongues, tribes, creeds, traditions, that's where law comes from. And when you have this polyglot, this multiculturalism, this melting pot, this tragedy that has befallen this country over the last 100 years, ever since the international Jew came to town, this polyglot that we live in today, we no longer have those customs, that tongue, that tribe, that creed, that tradition to rely upon to build our law. And now we live under private international law, the law of the international Jewry. Anyway, let's continue. The attitude taken by ruling groups in England, well, I should read the whole sentence. While they naturally brought with them from England and Europe many of the customs, habits, and thoughts of their native lands, they were confronted with new problems in strange surroundings that demanded of them new and different approaches to the solutions of questions of survival and of making a satisfactory living. The attitude taken by the ruling groups in England and elsewhere that the settlements in America were to have the status of colonies, contributing needed materials to the mother countries and at the same time remaining always dependent upon and subservient to them, aroused a deep sense of resentment among the colonists and served as a stimulus to them to become more completely, and then here they say correctly, self-sustaining and politically independent of the countries from which they and their parents had come. Thus was the attitude of self-reliance and independence developed here. Next time you hear somebody talking about self-sufficiency, wake them up to self-reliance. It's a much better usage. It manifested itself in what? In the belief that a man's success in life, in a large measure, was due to his own energy, courage, and resourcefulness. Where's Uncle Suck in that? I'll tell you, he doesn't exist. It spawned the concept of going into business for oneself that was a dominant characteristic of our economic thinking for many years and which survives even to the present. I mean, when you look to the left, you've arrived on the shore, you've gotten, you know, Michael Rowe, the boat ashore, and you've got there and you're standing on Plymouth Rock in your new boots. And you look to the left and all you can see are sand dunes and trees. And you look to the right and all you can see is sand dunes and trees all the way out to the horizon. And you look ahead and it's nothing but sand dunes and trees. Baby, you want to get down to work. You're definitely going to go into business for yourself right there. And you'll thank God for everything that you brought with you from the mother country, because there ain't nothing else to be found here that you don't create with your own hard work, enterprise. Success in business was regarded highly, and successful businessmen were honored and respected as leaders in their communities. And we found out all about that brainwashing when we studied Gustavus Myers, History of the Great American Fortunes. And we found out about Ivy Ledbetter Lee. We know something about public relations as well.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere.
even on concrete. Gardening in a Field Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Field Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, microplant powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
And so, once again, the land and the people, the Industrial Revolution, a little bit of a historical background in business and its environmental factors, the environment of business, a meaningful inquiry into the purposes, methods, institutions, results, and philosophy of American business would be inadequate without first giving consideration to its relationship to the environment in which it functions. In this relation is a mutual one, all right, from this textbook. Again, closing it out. Even though the doctrine of caveat emptor, let the buyers beware, was generally accepted by the people, they accorded honor and prestige to the leading entrepreneurs of their times. And of course, we get a lot of that in the daily news, too, up on Bloomberg. They're always lauding all the experts say and rolling out all of the people that have made great fortunes. But this isn't the only thought process. We talk about capitalism a lot over the weekend. A friend of mine, a garbage man of all things, a man of common sense and wisdom, someone who's deeply invested his time into the study of philosophy and theology, riding around in the country and driving a pickup truck, picking up all of the garbage from this garbage-oriented society, called me up and brought this to my attention. Distributism. He asked me, what is distributism? And I asked you the same question. What is distributism? I didn't know. I thought I knew all the isms, but, you know, there's always a new day to learn. Also known as distributionism and distributivism is a third way economic philosophy. See, he knew that that would catch my attention, the third way. is a third way economic philosophy formulated by whom? By such Catholic thinkers as G.K. Chesterton and Hilary Belloc. To apply the principles of Catholic social teaching, always a social this and social that, articulated by the Catholic Church, especially in Pope Leo XIII's encyclical, Rerum Novarum, and you should certainly take time to read that one, and more expansively explained by Pope Pius XI's encyclical, Quadragesimo Anno. And if you can find it, it's all on the Wikipedia, wiki.org/wiki, or just type in Distributism Wiki, and it'll come right up for you. Lots of links, lots of reading here. According to Distributism, the ownership of the means of production should be spread as widely as possible among the general populace, rather than being centralized under the control of the state, which is state socialism, or a few large businesses or wealthy private individuals, which is plutarchic capitalism. A summary of distributism is found in Chesterton's statement, quote, "Too much capitalism does not mean too many capitalists, but too few capitalists." And of course, that's the way it works, you know. Again, I draw your attention to the Rothschilds of Paris. You go in and look at their website and look at the incredible pyramid of corporations they have their claws in. Again, it's not too much capitalism does not mean too many capitalists, but too few capitalists. It's centering more and more power in fewer hands. Essentially, distributism distinguishes itself by distribution of property, not to be confused, they say, here with the redistribution of capital that would be carried out under most socialist plans of governance. While socialism allows no individual to own productive property, it all being under state, community, or workers' control, with exceptions such as mutualism, distributism itself seeks to ensure that most people will become owners of productive property. That's kind of difficult to accomplish, isn't it? I know that there are a lot of people out there that even if their sorry butts were sitting right on very productive property, they would do nothing with it. Some of these social ideas have to be questioned. Common sense plays strongly here. As Belloc stated, the distributive state, that is the state which has implemented distributism, contains an agglomeration of families of varying wealth, but by far the greatest number of owners of the means of production. This broader distribution does not extend to all property, but only to productive property, that is, that property which produces wealth, namely, the things needed for man to survive. It includes land, tools, etc. Rather utopic, isn't it? How would that happen? How is it that a man gets, well, 3 acres and a cow? Well, whose 3 acres did he get? Who paid for the land? And whose cow is he stealing? Anyway, distributism has often been declared as a third way. Of course, third way politics, very strongly admired by Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince, and the Fabian Socialists. Maybe the Fabian Socialists have gotten a little bit of, Hail Mary and full of grace or something, visiting with the Pope of Rome. As Belloc stated again, the distributed state, that is, the state which has implemented distributism, contains an agglomeration of families of varying wealth. Well, I think we have that now, don't we? Continuing. Some have seen it more as an aspiration, which has been successfully realized in the short term by commitment to the principles of subsidiarity and solidarity. Well, what is this subsidiarity? Is that subsidizing? And solidarity, what is that? Workers of the world unite? These being built into financially independent local cooperatives and family-owned small businesses. And as we continue our discussion of business out of this textbook, we'll get into some of the differences here between the various cooperatives and family-owned small businesses, and then partnerships, and then corporations. Though proponents also cite such periods as the Middle Ages as examples of the historical long-term viability of distributism. What are we talking about now? Feudalism? Yeah. 3 acres and a cow. Anybody ever have a cow on 3 acres? You got a real hungry cow. You'd be lucky to be producing milk out of that baby at 3 acres. Anyway, it might have been better be really good grass. Distributism's philosophical origins can be traced to the same 19th century roots as socialism. As a reaction against the perceived inequalities and miseries of high capitalism in late Victorian England. The inspiration for the distributist movement was the 1891 papal social encyclical, again, of Pope Leo XIII, De Rerum Novarum, on the condition of labor, calling for a new compassionate interpretation of capitalism. Well, maybe it is time for a new compassionate interpretation of capitalism, but really, maybe it's time to back off on the legislative control handle a little bit and allow a free market to operate. Anyway, at the turn of the century, Chesterton and Belloc drew together the disparate experiences of the various cooperatives and friendly societies. Watch out for those friendly societies. What are these guys, a bunch of Puritans or something? In Northern England, Ireland, and Northern Europe, into a coherent political ideology which specifically advocated widespread private ownership of housing and the control of industry through owner-operated small businesses and worker-controlled co-ops. You can go over and look in Israel and see how that's worked out for them on the kibbutzes. It all sounds nice, but it needs to be underwritten heavily by American tax dollars. In the United States, and reparations from the German people, of course, can't forget that. In the United States in the 1930s, distributivism was treated in numerous essays by Chesterton, Belloc, and others in the American Review, published and edited by Seward Collins. Pivotal among Chesterton and Belloc's other works regarding distributivism. Yeah. Always read carefully, folks, and read the entire article. Don't just read the first paragraph and jump into the thing and say, this is the new it. Although a majority of distributism's later supporters were not Catholics, and many were, in fact, former radical socialists. Misery loves company, doesn't it? Who had become disillusioned with socialism. Well, anybody that looks at socialism with an honest face will understand that you cannot continue indefinitely to rob Peter to pay Paul. But they understood part of what the problem was with socialism. That's why they wanted to give every man 3 acres and a cow. Because if you ain't actually milking the cow and taking care of the cow, if you're not actually working the ground, if you don't have a private property ownership society, it's going to hell in a handbasket because subsidized living never works on the long haul. Who's going to paint the house? Well, why bother? It belongs to the county, right? You ever seen people in the projects out there cleaning up, picking up, remodeling the slum? No, you don't. They're not gonna either. Although a majority of distributism's later supporters were not Catholics, many were, in fact, former radical socialists, you know, like Barry the Usurper and Hillary Clinton, who had become disillusioned with socialism. Distributist thought was adopted again by the Catholic workers' movement. Workers of the world unite. Conjoining it with the thought of Dorothy Day, not Doris Day, Dorothy, and Peter Marin. Well, localized and independent communities. Lots to learn, lots to think about. We'll think about some more of that tomorrow. Until the next time.
One precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere. Even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert, Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is Oracle Broadcasting.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting.